Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to Prepare Radio with your host, Diane Thomas.
Good morning and welcome to Prepare Radio. This is Diane Thomas, your host. It is Saturday morning and we are continuing our series on tithing versus giving. We've gone through what the scriptures say, and now we're talking about the practical effects, the consequences of both what happens when we believe in tithing and what happens when we believe in giving. And what's the difference to us? Why does this matter? We've been talking about the consequences in regards to our responsibility of being able to learn to hear from God for ourselves. We know that the finances in our lives, especially right now, are very important to us, and that's what makes them important to God. Remember, as a spirit being, you have already fulfilled every requirement, every mandate God has ever placed on you. So he's already fully satisfied and happy and content with how you're doing, your spiritual condition. He's not trying to get you to a certain level or maturity or spirituality. He's already given you your final grade, and that's an A+. You're at the head of your class because you're the only one in your class. But because you are spirit of spirit, you have been born of him and by him and through him, your spiritual nature is a done deal. And it's because it's him, he cannot even have any argument or criticism or shadow of doubt about who and what you are, because you're made of the same stuff he is. Well, how come we're not living like that? It's because we have hindrances between our soul and our spirit. And that's why we're still here. That's why we're still here on this earth. It's not to do something for God. It's something for us. God has left us here for us, so we can learn how to live as a spirit with a soul that lives in a body. There are certain things that we can only learn by living here on this earth. This is your opportunity, and so many, unfortunately, have bought into this idea that we're just biding our time until we get to whatever comes next. Whatever your particular concept of heaven or hell is, this whole notion that we have one opportunity, one decision about whether we're going to spend eternity in heaven or in hell, which just, you know, not only does it not line up with scriptures, that doesn't line up with God's character. And when we start seeing things from his perspective, we start to see how damaging so many of these beliefs are. If you were to find out that what is driving you right now, what is your motivating factor in regards to God, wasn't true, would it change how you're acting, how you're behaving? So many people are putting up with terrible relationships because they think that's pleasing to God. Or because they think, well, I'm going to get out of this soon. and then everything will be fine. Out of this earth, out of this life, rather than seeing it as an opportunity to learn to rule and reign. That circumstance you're in right now was crafted for you by God, and you may be ignoring it. And how long does he leave us in these things until we learn that? There's so many things we must learn before we go on. We need to learn how to walk before we learn how to ride a bike. And if we refuse to learn the basics, because he is kind, he does not put us into a class that's above our skills. So in regards to finances, this is why so many either have money and then lose it all, or never get money, finances, or power or influence at all, no matter how hard they work, because they have not learned what they need to learn, and God is blessing them by keeping them from gaining that influence, gaining that popularity, gaining that power, that the financial wherewithal. So we want to learn what God wants us to be learning. And when we start seeing that so many of the hindrances are because of what we believe. Now, part of that is, especially if we've been living our lives a certain way for a long time, we just feel like if we let go of that, our whole life will have been a waste. Well, this is where we begin to learn to redeem the time. And when we start joining with God and recognizing, you know, wow, I've believed this all my life, and it's kept me from doing this, and it's kept me in to doing this, believing in this and not doing this. And now that I realize that that was never you, God, those were my expectations or what I believed it was you, but it was really from someone else. I feel so foolish that I've wasted all this time, and I'll never be able to catch up. I'll never be able to attain to what you had planned for me. And yet, that's just a trick. It's a lie. And remember, we have our three enemies, the world, the flesh, and the devil. And that particular lie can come from all three. That it's too late. You've missed the boat. You had your chance, and now you see that you've missed the boat, but the boat's too far to get on it. Now, God just takes you and puts you on the boat. He redeems the time. You redeem the time. Don't worry about being too late. Remember, time is an earthly element. It's not a spiritual element, and it's not a supernatural element. We've talked about this many, many, many months ago about how time is a tool. It's an earthbound reality. It is there. It's a law. But just as gravity is a law, when you see a plane fly, it's superseding one law, gravity, with another law, lift. And even in the natural realm, we can learn to redeem the time. And we're doing that. We're learning how, especially as a spiritual being, time has no effect on you spiritually. The whole concept, this is one of the problems we've got with the whole eternal life versus everlasting life. They are two different things. We all want to live long, have a long life. But regardless of how long you live, it has nothing to do with eternal life. Eternal life is not more. It's a total different reality. When you became a Christian, when you were born again in your spirit, when you became a spirit being, you received and became eternal life. Because eternal life is a characteristic or a quality of your spirit. Nothing more, nothing less. You don't enter it and then come back out. You don't, it's not something that when you die, you enter into eternal life. You've got it now as a quality of your spirit being. But God wants your soul and your body to join your spirit in that eternal life. So our purpose here is twofold: to remove the hindrances between, especially between our soul and our spirit, and also how to live as a spirit being here on this earth. Jesus was a great example of that. He learned how to live as a spirit being with a soul living in a body on this earth. And he started that by going to his Father to be taught. Not by anyone else. And he knew that not just because of what he taught, you know, he didn't say, well, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father, because he was teaching what the Father taught him. No, it's because he knew that he was in the Father. Well, guess what? You are in the Father in the same way he was right now, if you've been reborn spiritually. So when we get to the finances, again, it's important to God because it's important to us. And not just you and I, but this earth that he has set us on. So let's face that. Let's talk about that realistically. We're not trying to make more out of it than God has, but we're embracing that this is a central element that he has put in our culture in this day and age, in other eons and other time periods. It might not have been as important, but it is now, very influential. So we want to recognize that and think through in our own minds, allow God to show us what scripts we're believing. You know, when I say God wants you rich, what do you think? What do you believe? When I say God wants you influential, what comes into your mind? Is that a good thing or a bad thing? And I'm not saying either one of those. Because this is the thing, is let God speak to you. Rather than coming to a conclusion about either one of those, what's important is what button it pushes in you. We start with recognizing that when we have a strong reaction, there's a wound there. When we have a reaction that lasts longer than, I like to use 24 hours, it's just a good guide, there's a wound there that he wants to heal. And that wound, there's going to be a lie there. Do you have to be rich in order to be happy? Absolutely not. Do you have to be rich in order to be influential? Absolutely not. Who's going to define influential? That's between you and God. Who's going to define rich? That's between you and God. So we've come full circle. But if you have your own preconceptions, when you ask God about these things, there's going to be a filter on what he says to you. So if God says, I'm going to make you rich, I'm going to pour wealth into your pocketbook, I'm going to, you know, make your checking account unable to hold what I'm going to give you, you may have an idea about what his plans are. And if you, maybe you're taking that as a confirmation of a new business endeavor. But if you don't check with him about that specifically, you may be totally off track. And this is the whole point, because the bottom line is being able to hear him for ourselves and develop that constant awareness of his communicating with you, because he is. He's always talking to you. He's always speaking with you, and you're always hearing him perfectly, 24/7, all the time. You're in his perfect will right now, in the spirit, and that's the only place that matters. Everything else is simply a matter of training opportunities, moment by moment. Are we depending on him or not? Are we listening for him? Are we aware of him? Are we recognizing that this is all just training? Or are we trying to perform? Are we fulfilling a role? Are we deciding what's important to him? So when we talk about our finances, we want to remind ourselves that we are sons of the King. With Jesus, we are joint heirs with him. Not lesser heirs, joint. Whatever Jesus has inherited, we have inherited as well. Not less. Equal. The same. The same inheritance. We are co-inheritors with him. We are, because he has inherited, we have also inherited. Now, we therefore have access to our inheritance now. And our inheritance as sons of the King, as princes, is the kingdom itself. Now, princes aren't on the payroll of the King. The King doesn't pay the prince to do princely tasks. Princes do their tasks because the kingdom is theirs. They are taking care of their own possessions. They are taking care of their own inheritance. They've inherited the kingdom itself and all its riches. Everything in the kingdom is at your disposal. Now, fortunately, again, because God recognizes our inability to hear him clearly, our woundedness, the hindrances between our soul and our spirit, he doesn't respond to every whim we have. He doesn't respond to what we think we should have. He instead does have us going through these training cycles. These training moment by moment. And in finances, so many people go through the same thing over and over again and just either beat God over their heads or blame themselves when it doesn't go right, rather than thinking, maybe what I'm believing isn't right. And when we have our faith, our confidence in what we believe, we have knocked God off our throne. Because your having confidence in your beliefs is different than having confidence in God. God is a person. Your beliefs are very often idols. They are images and concepts that you have created, maybe about God, but they are more often accommodate your own desires, your temperament, your history, your wounds. So just because you believe something doesn't mean it's true. Whatever it is, take it back to God. God, is this from you? And test it. And it's amazing how simple it is. Not easy, because God knows how to get us, and we've got a lot of hindrances to get through. So it hurts. Change is hard. But it's simple because he does all the work. And all the work in your spirit's already been done. So you're on the same side. You're not fighting God. You're fighting your spirit. The war is between your soul and your spirit, not between you and God in any way, shape, or form. The only part of you that God hates is your flesh, which is fine because you hate it too. It's not you. God allowed you to have your beliefs, your wounds, up until he was ready to deal with them. Now he's ready to deal with them. And when we insist on keeping things, keeping our beliefs, there will be consequences. Sometimes he passes by onto something that's more important, but other times we are not going to go any farther until we allow him to reveal the lie we're believing and heal the wound we've got. But as far as our finances, he's teaching us how to rule and reign now. And in one of those areas is our finances. When we think about the images we have of what a good Christian is, it is so dependent on your own history, your own, what you've been taught. You know, that a Christian is not supposed to desire material things. And others, well, you know, we are kids of the kingdom. We're supposed to have only the very best. We never eat hamburger. We only eat steak. We're kids of the kingdom. And so whatever your particular persuasion is, there, it's all over the place. There's such a wide variety, and so much of it is what suits us and our temperament and what we've been taught. And there is no right answer other than what is God telling you. Now, that's in regards to our spiritual and soulful walk with God. But there's a natural component to this. Just as your body, whether you're a Christian or not, your body's health is your responsibility, whether you're a Christian or not. Likewise, taking care of your body and taking care of your family and taking care of your material goods and being a good citizen, being a good neighbor, being a good friend, all these things, whether you are a Christian or not, whether you are a spirit being or not, these are all relationships that are soulical and natural. So whether you're a spirit being or not, there are responsibilities and laws and consequences. So just as if you don't eat, you die. If you don't do something to generate an income, you will be broke. If you spend unwisely, God is not obligated to make up the difference. And there's so many in different churches right now that are relying on the church. I've been tithing to this church for decades. And now I need some help, and you're saying you can't help me because you don't have any money. What have you been doing with all the money? Well, God's supposed to take care of me because I've been doing good all these years. You know, and now I need his help, and he's turning his back on me. I'm never going to believe in God again. Well, since the first half was erroneous, thinking that you were doing what God wanted you to do by tithing to your church, why is he obligated to the second part, that now that you need help, he has to help you? Does he put food in your mouth during the day? Does he go to the grocery store and buy you groceries? No. You do that yourself. You know to take care of your body, that your body is your responsibility. Well, likewise, taking care of your natural needs through finances, that's your responsibility as well. Now, he certainly wants to help, you know, especially when there's a problem with our physical body, when we're not feeling well. Normally what we do is we go to the doctor first. Rather than, God, is there something, do I need to go to the doctor? I'm not feeling well, do I need to go to the doctor? Is there something going on? And he may start talk to you about what you've been putting in your body. And likewise with your finances, your checkbook. God, there's nothing in my bank account. Who should I go to ask for more money? And if he starts talking to you about getting a second job, a third job, a fourth job, whatever, oh, no, that's, you know, king's kids shouldn't go begging. You know, I wouldn't be able to go to church if I got a second job. Well, guess what? That's your responsibility. This, again, this isn't even a spiritual issue. Because there are consequences that are natural and supernatural, regardless of your being a spirit being or not. So there's the other side of that coin. But as a spirit being, we have that advantage because we can go to God and find out what's going on. You know, and we hold out for that perfect job. We hold out for that perfect situation. Or where we, you know, will only go from glory to glory. You know, that we'll only always get a better job and never a worse one. When, you know, if we're going to do the scripture thing, you know, if a man does not work, neither shall he eat. But we can go to God and say, do I just need to go out and get more work? Or are you trying to heal a wound? Or is this all about making a total career change? What's going on, God? What beliefs do I need to change? Because you are a co-inheritor of the kingdom. It's all there. It's all available to you. But part of the process is how do we access it? And we don't access it without first having learned how the natural and supernatural works. We first get the natural under our belt, then the supernatural. Then, in other words, we have our beliefs, our soulical beliefs lined up with his, and we're flexible and we're allowing him to change our beliefs. Then we learn. Then he can open the treasures, the storehouses of heaven, and make those, everything that's yours, available to you. But first you have to learn how the natural realm works, how the supernatural realm works, and how to overcome those. Then we start to learn how to access the kingdom treasures that are available to you right now, because they are. They're there right now. And we all want a miracle. We all want somebody to just walk up to us with a bazillion-dollar check and solve all our problems. And I think, in a sense, God would love to do that, but it wouldn't be good for us, because we would have been reinforced in neglecting the natural realm, the laws, and the supernatural realm, the laws and consequences there. So we learn to rule and reign in each one of those areas before he gives us that ruling and reigning from a spiritual standpoint. We have such a small idea, a concept of what he is doing or what's available to us in the spirit, because we have been so short-sighted in taking authority in the natural and supernatural realms. But he is giving us opportunities to make up that time quickly. So challenge him, challenge yourself, Lord, what do I need to do now? I'm willing to give up all my beliefs. I'm willing to do whatever you say. Then test what you hear. Lord, is that you? Lord, is that you? Lord, that doesn't sound like you. What am I believing here? Why does this hurt? Why does this bother me so much? Is there a wound here? Or do I just need to make a change? And again, if you have any questions, you want to talk about this, drop me a line at diane@wecanprepare.org. This is one of the kinds of things we're going to be talking about when we start to set up our webinars, and that is in the works. So we will be getting to that pretty quick. So continue to stay tuned. Sign up to be on the mailing list at wecanprepare.org. There's a sign up right up in the right hand corner. We'll keep you informed about the changes. We've been kind of in a just status quo mode for a couple months now, but we will be gearing up pretty quick to really be hitting some of these things pretty hard and moving forward quickly. So thanks for tuning in. Have a great weekend. This has been Diane Thomas of Prepare Radio. Have a great day.